Didn't Will do a good job playing the piano? He's going to love me for saying that. No, that's really, we're really blessed here to have musicians who are willing to step in. And Andrew being willing to lead. He does on Sunday night anyways, but stepping in this morning, leading Sunday morning singing. So it's really just a blessing, the folks that the Lord has brought our way and the gifts that they have and their willingness to use them in service to the Lord. So a lot of people have gifts, but they don't want to serve the Lord for whatever reason with them in the church. So it's a blessing when folks do that. It's encouraging to all of us. I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah. Now, if you go to Matthew and just go back to the left, it's left of Matthew, just a couple of pages, probably 4 pages, 5 pages, and we're going to be in Zechariah chapter 1. We'll pick up at verse 7 tonight. And I don't know how far we're going to get in this. We'll just sort of see how it goes. Zechariah chapter 1. You folks all remember the context in which Zechariah prophesied. It was post exile. All right? Or you might say post-exilic. That's kind of hard to say. Can y'all say that with me? Post-exilic. That means after the exile. All right? The exile was an exile of the people of God into Babylon for how many years? Does anybody remember how many years it was? 70 years. And they were taken there because of their sin against God. God judged them and did just what He had promised them that He would do if they did not obey His word. All right, so He's a post-exilic prophet. He shows up in the book of Ezra. If you're reading through Ezra, you can find him in chapter 5 and chapter 6 along with another prophet named Haggai. All right? So they were prophesying during a very tumultuous time in the history of Israel, because the city that the people had come back to had been destroyed, and they were... Y'all see that floating down right there? I missed it. And the city had been destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The walls were destroyed. The city as a whole was destroyed. So they come back to a place that was very much in shambles. So the people began to get their lives in order. They lived in their paneled houses, Haggai says, but the house of God remained unfinished. And Haggai and Zechariah are raised up during that context in order to encourage the people to get back to work. I want to make sure that we understand the context of this. I remember reading the Old Testament before I knew a lot of context to the books. And I would read some of them and I was like, what in the world is going on here? This makes no sense whatsoever. What is the deal? But then when you can get an idea of what the context of a book is, then that really encourages you to be able to read it with more confidence. So that's a little bit of the context of Zechariah. And what I would like to invite you to do is, I want to read the first 6 verses again. I preached from these last Sunday night, just to remind us of what was said here. And then we will read 7 through through the end of the chapter. I might take it a section at a time, actually. So let's go ahead and start at chapter 1, verse 1. And as always, this is the word of the Lord. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, "The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Verse 5, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I command my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. That's what we looked at last week. Now, if you would join me at verse 7, and I'll read 7 through 11, then just offer a quick word of prayer, asking the Lord's help as we look at this tonight. Verse 7 says, on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. And behind him were horses, red, sorrel, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord, who stood among the myrtle trees, and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Let's go ahead and keep reading to the end of the chapter. Verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease. For I was a little angry, and they helped, but with evil intent. Verse 16, therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion, and will again choose Jerusalem. Now, let's read 18 through 21. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered me, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen, and I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head, but the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let's go ahead and say a quick word of prayer. Father, the book of Zechariah is a difficult book, and I will confess that tonight, Lord, as we begin to look at it together. And Father, I pray that as we spend some time here, that everything that we need to see and should see, we would see it tonight from Your Word. Every bit of truth that we need to hear tonight and to discover, that it would be before us. Please, Lord, help us to have eyes to see tonight. Please help us to have ears to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, let's jump in, folks. If you'll look at verse 7, one thing that I would tell you to do here to begin with, looking into this, you got to compare verse 1 to verse 7. All right? In verse 1, they're very much identical, even though the time stamp is a little bit different. How many months later does verse 7 happen than verse 1? 3 months, right? 3 months. All right. Verse 1 happened in the 8th month. Verse 7 happens in the 3rd month. So you can kind of see how time has elapsed here from the first word that Zechariah spoke that was given to him from God. Continuing there, the month of Shebat was the 11th month. And I think, I meant to check this again before I came in here, I think that's January, February time frame. The Shebat is the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar would not have aligned with the normal calendar that the world had at that time. So the Jewish calendar was different, and I guess still is, than what the typical calendar would be. All right, so it's the 11th month in the second year of Darius. Darius is the ruler of the Persian Empire that is the major power at that time. And then it goes on in verse 7. It says, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. And how did it come to him as you look at this passage? How did it come to him? You'll notice in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to him saying. What does this passage indicate as far as the way in which the word of the Lord came to him? By what? Well, no. Not really. He saw Zayden. It was a vision. And this is the first of 8 visions that Zechariah is going to have. And these are all night visions. They probably happened over a time. The difference between a vision and a dream in the Bible is that a vision happens when somebody's awake. A dream happens when somebody is asleep. So here, Zechariah has this vision in the night, apparently while he is awake, and we see what the vision is, all right, starting there in verse 8. So in other words, the way in which God's word came to Zechariah was by a vision. He didn't just hear the voice of God in some way, but he saw this vision, and then in the vision, the word of God was given to him. Let me give you another example before we go further than this. This is not uncommon. Don't turn here, but let me just read this to you. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the burden against Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. So apparently what Nahum received in his prophecy was given to him in a vision as well. So this is not uncommon for prophets. Let's keep going here through verse 8. In verse 8 it says, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. And it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. Y'all getting the picture in your minds? Red horse, man riding on it. There's a hollow, a valley. And there's myrtle trees. Myrtle tree was probably some sort of evergreen tree, or is an evergreen tree. It's in that family. Okay, so it says there in verse 8 that it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. And behind him were what? Good. Red horses. What other color horses? White. And sorrel. Does anybody know what color sorrel is? Yeah, it's kind of, it's a beautiful brown. So that's what sorrel would be. It was kind of a brown horse. So you have three different horses, and these are in the plural. So what that means is it wasn't just one of each of them, but it was kind of like a cavalry of horses that are coming behind this one man who is riding on a red horse. Okay, y'all getting the picture? Now, here's what happens. When we deal with literature like this, prophecy like this, our tendency is to begin to say, oh, what does the red horse mean? Oh, what does the white horse mean? What about that sorrel? What does that mean? And what about this valley and those myrtle trees? What does all of that mean? All right, so here's the responsible thing to do as a student of the Word of God. The responsible thing for you to do is just stay focused on the text, and if the text here tells you what it means, then great. If it doesn't tell you what it means, then don't worry about it too much. Because guess what? It might tell you later, or it might not. Our tendency is to say, oh, I'm going to Revelation 6 because it talks about horses there too, and I'm going to see what the horses were there, and I'm going to apply it to here. I would not encourage you to do that because we're speculating at that time on the Word of God. The best thing to do is just let it lie. Now let's keep working. All right, verse 9. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? Now who's he talking to? The angel who did what? Anybody see it? The angel, it says it right after that. So the angel who, there you go, talked with me. All right, so, you know, the first point that I have in my notes about this is various actors. In this prophecy of Zechariah, there are various, and I just call them actors. Because you've got Zechariah, and you actually have the Lord first speaking to Zechariah, and then after that you have a man on a red horse, and now you have Zechariah speaking to an angel that was apparently there in this vision as he was having it. So he speaks to this angel, and he calls him my Lord in verse 9, and he asks the question. What's the question that he asked?
What do these things mean?
Okay, I don't know what translation you have. But it may say that right there in verse 9. Is that what it says in verse 9? Mine says, what are these? What are the these? Okay. What are the these that he's asking about? These what? What are these? The horses. Right. He wants to know about the horses. We would too, wouldn't we? So continuing in verse 9, it says, so the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. Now, verse 10. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees. Now, who is that? Who is the man who stood among the myrtle trees? Okay, you said the angel of the Lord. But prior to this, who would we say that it was? The man on the red horse. Okay? And he's going to be identified more later. All right, so here we go. Verse 10, and the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. All right, now, the man who came in on the red horse, he's there among the myrtle trees. All these other horses come in behind him. They're among the myrtle trees in the hollow. He answers the question that the angel who talked with Zechariah said that he would tell him. And he said about them that these that are following me are the ones who walk to and fro throughout the earth. And behold, all the earth is resting quietly. That's in verse 11. Well, verse 10 is where these are the ones who walk to and fro throughout the whole earth. So he's sort of telling them here that these guys are like a military reconnaissance. They have gone out to search out the whole world to see what sort of condition it is in. And what we find here, folks, is that we see God sending out these, and we'll just say horses, these beings, these angels. And these angels are going throughout the earth and they are surveying it. They're checking it out. They're seeing what the condition is. And they come back with a report. Verse 11. Here's how they answered it. It says, "So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees." Ah, we get a little bit more about this man among the myrtle trees. Who is the man that stood among the myrtle trees? Verse 11, he is the what? Ain't red horse. But we find out in verse 11 that he was the angel of the Lord. All right? "So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, 'We have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly.'" All right, that's the report. That makes sense? All right. Now, the question is, does that matter? What's the big point from this? We haven't figured out what the red horse is or what the white horse is or what the myrtle trees are. But what do we see? We see that God has sent out an angelic surveillance that goes throughout the whole earth and He sees everything that is going on. We see this report come back. All right, let's keep going to verse 12. Verse 12, "Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, 'O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you were angry these 70 years?'" Okay. So y'all remember that angel of the Lord there, he's the man who was on the red horse. He came and stood among the myrtle trees. And now, not talking to Zechariah, but Zechariah sees this angel begin to talk to the Lord of hosts, the Lord who is the God over all the hosts of heaven. They are under His control. So he asks him, "How long? How long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem?" And now let's go to verse 13. "And the Lord," all right, let me ask you guys this. When you see the word Lord in all capital letters, what does that mean? Good, good. Yahweh. All right, when it's all in all caps in the English Bible, it means Yahweh. It's the personal name of God that's His covenant name to His people. Okay? "And the Lord answered the angel who talked with me." You notice he doesn't answer the Lord of hosts, but he answers the angel who talked with Zechariah. And it says that he answered him with good and comforting words. 14. "So the angel who spoke with me said to me, 'Proclaim saying,'" all right, here's where we're seeing the message that Zechariah is to speak. "Proclaim saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal.'" Does anybody's Bible say jealous? Some translations might say jealous. "I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great..." Does it say with great jealousy or does it say with great zeal? Okay. Exceedingly jealous. Now, let's go to verse 15. "I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease. For I was a little angry and they helped, but with evil intent." All right, pay attention to this for just a second. I know we're walking through this line by line, but I honestly don't know how else to do it. And think about the context in which Zechariah is prophesying. All right, so how many years had they stopped working on the temple that they were supposed to be building when Zechariah began to prophesy? Does anybody remember? How many years had the work stopped? Caleb?
Seven.
No.
No,
16 years.
Yeah,
16 years. Stoppage in work for about 16 years. Okay? And think about this message now. Because they were discouraged. Has life ever not worked out the way that you thought it ought to? Well, that's exactly the situation that's happening here in Zechariah. The people are back there in Jerusalem, but things haven't worked out quite the way that they thought that they would. And now, all of a sudden, through some prophets, God is beginning to speak to the people. And if you'll think about the message, in verse 14, I am zealous for Jerusalem. What the people might have been thinking is, God's left Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 10 talked about how the glory of God left the city. God's not here anymore. But now Zechariah the prophet comes along saying, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. But he doesn't leave it there just to speak about his desire for Jerusalem, but he now begins to talk about the nations. Now, if you look at the end of verse 11, what was the condition of all the earth according to the scouts that had gone out? What was the condition at the end of verse 11 of all the earth? They were resting quietly. Does that mean that God was at peace with them? The earth was at ease, but verse 15, God says, I am exceedingly angry with the nations. Which nations? The nations at ease. Let's learn a quick lesson from this. Just because things are going well nationally, just because things are going well internationally, just because things are going well locally, just because things are going well in our homes, does not mean necessarily that we are actually at peace with God. And the nations, though it was reported of them that they are resting quietly, God was angry with them. And if you look here at verse 15, he goes on to say, I was a little angry, and they helped. What's he talking about? Who's they? It says, and they helped. I'm not calling on you this time, Caleb. You think you know? Who is it?
Jerusalem.
No, not Jerusalem. Who would they be? Okay, Babylon, but going beyond Babylon, the nations, they helped. You'll notice there, I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease, for I was a little angry, and they helped. The antecedent to they there would be the nations. What did they help with? They helped with God's anger toward Jerusalem, toward Judah, because of their disobedience. So, notice this. But how did they help? In verse 15. How did they help? With what? Evil intent. I just want to take a moment to point out to you how we learn so much about God from the Old Testament. You may have heard that recently. But we learn from this passage that God can actually raise up a nation like Babylon to bring judgment upon His people, Judah. And then God can rightly judge Babylon because Babylon did what they did with evil intent. They went too far. They were wicked toward the people of God. If you go to, we won't, but Ezekiel chapter 25, you see a list of nations that begin to be given. And the reason God judges them is because the way they treated Jerusalem. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 50, we find there that Babylon is judged. Why? Because of the way they treated Jerusalem, even though God had raised them up to bring judgment upon them. So God's angry with these nations, and the reason He's angry with them is because they helped in His initial anger toward Jerusalem, but they did it with evil intent. Now, what questions do y'all have at this point? Is this clear, or is it at least, does it seem like a reasonable explanation that I'm giving to you, anyways? Or y'all like, I don't even know what we're talking about. Nothing. Either way, so I guess everybody's seriously. Does anybody have any clarifying questions that you want to ask? Aaron?
The red horse, like I think whenever I first hear that, I immediately think like a blood red horse. Just because, I guess, thinking of other things, but
yeah,
that's not necessarily a right picture of that, right? Because I guess the other colors sort of seem like they could be
horse
colors.
Yeah, it seems like
red is a kind of sort of like a reddish brown maybe or something like that.
Right. It seems like a natural color of a horse that he's talking about there.
Something that might be good for something.
Okay. Yeah. Instead of a bright red horse. Larry?
Like in verse 15, is it significant that he mentions being a little angry and then being exceedingly angry? Like God has different variations.
It does seem to be indicating that, because there's a difference between being exceedingly angry and a little angry. And and he's drawing that distinction there between the way that he was angry toward Jerusalem and the way that he's angry now toward the nations who are at ease.
So, just for clarification, He is angry with those nations, but yet they furthered the disaster. That's what mine says.
Read your translation. Verse.
I'm exceedingly angry with the nations that are at ease. For while I was angry but a little, they furthered the disaster.
Yeah.
And am I understanding that yours reads differently, that last line?
It says with evil intent.
And
really, this is so important that we get this. And there's another verse somewhere in the Old Testament that I felt like really highlights this that I could not find, but I remember seeing it before. But the idea here behind this is that they went further in their actions toward the people of God than what God actually intended for them to do. And that kind of makes our minds short circuit a little bit when we begin to think about this. But that is what is being indicated here. They did it with evil intent. What was yours again?
Furthered the disaster.
They furthered the disaster. Here's an example. You can look at the book of Obadiah and see how the Edomites are judged by God because of the way they treated Israel when they were being carried away captive. They were worse to them than they should have been. And that really summarizes it. They were worse in their actions toward the people of God than what they should have been. And because of that, God is exceedingly angry with these nations that He's talking about here. And you may say, why are we even messing with this? Well, here's the deal. Because this is the God that we worship. This is the way that God is. And it's very good for us to know everything that we can about the God that we worship. And He does all of this in perfect holiness and righteousness. So I encourage you, as you're reading through the Old Testament, pay attention to passages like this. Because there are several of them. Let's try to finish up this section. We'll be done. Verse 16. Therefore, and I'm intentionally not turning anywhere else, because I don't want to lose our focus on this passage and really lose our movement here on this. Verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. You'll notice in verse 6 that it begins with, says the Lord. In the middle, it says the Lord of hosts. So the people would have heard this from the mouth of Zechariah, and they would have heard that the Lord Yahweh, the Lord who is sovereign over all the hosts of heaven, He is returning to Jerusalem, and He's going to have mercy on Jerusalem. Imagine a prophet, a preacher, standing up in that day and beginning to preach this to the people, that God is coming and He's going to have mercy upon Jerusalem. Surveyor's line will be stretched out over Jerusalem. If I were out here in the field and you walked out there one day and I had some lines stretched out with four corner posts, maybe around the field, and I had a tape measure and I was pulling some measurements, what might you say? Yeah, what you going to build? And this is the picture that He's given here, and we're actually going to see this developed in chapter 2, that He's saying the surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. There's going to be activity. There's going to be building that's going to take place here. This place is going to be secure. Verse 17. Again, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. He chose Jerusalem one time to put His name there. In Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord depart from the temple, chapter 10 and 11. Here He is promising the people that He will again choose Jerusalem. And I'm taking this in the context of it being rebuilt, the temple being finished, and the walls being completed, the city being secured. Now, we're going to stop there because we're not about to dive into four horns and four craftsmen in the second vision in 18 through 21. God makes these promises to Jerusalem here, but frankly, He has made a greater promise to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, the Son of God. Because while there is this earthly Jerusalem, and God speaks to that, there is a heavenly Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem that's going to come down. And the only way for us to have a residency in that new Jerusalem is if we have it through the merit. Y'all know what merit means? What does merit mean? Anybody know? The worth, the goodness of someone else. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, through Christ, has promised to have mercy on the lost sinner
who believes in His Son who was raised again on the third day. That message of the gospel is the message of eternal life, that anyone who believes in Him can have forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And we want to always remind you of that gospel that saves sinners. If tonight you need to believe in that gospel and be made right with God, the invitation is just to do that. Believe on the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. God, Father, I thank You, Lord, O Lord of hosts, the One who speaks in visions, the One who speaks with words, the One who has ultimately spoken to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And through Your Son, You, Lord, have made a way, for He is the way, the truth, and the life, a way for us to come to You, a way in which we can have eternal life, a way in which we know the truth about who You are. Lord, I pray that as we wrestle with these words in Zechariah, that we would wrestle. And God, that we would learn all that we can. But most of all, it is my prayer that all that we see here would fulfill its ultimate purpose in pointing us back to the Son of God who gave His life for sinners. In Jesus' name, amen.